702. Weekend Breakfast with Refilwe Mpakanyane. Live, online, smartphones, DSTV channel 856, 92.7 and 106 FM.
It's 6:38 on the Sunday edition of Weekend Breakfast. Welcome to it. If you have just joined us, it is Weekend Breakfast. I'm Refilwe Mpakanyane, and I'm with you until 10 o'clock this morning. So we've got about 3.5 hours in each other's company and lots of conversations to be had. Right now, we are in the Nature Diary with our resident conservation expert, Tim Neary, who's brought us a really, really lovely conversation around bees. Tim, good morning. I'm going to lay out what exactly we're tackling this morning. But good morning. I hope things are going well in your garden today.
The garden is looking very good. It needs a little more rain now, I think, but it is really looking good. The chickens are busy. The bees are busy already this morning. They're on a little bit of lavender. So, yes, the garden is where it should be.
The garden is where it should be, which is really great to hear. But I guess what we're going to unpack very shortly is the state of our bee populations in South Africa and whether or not they are where they should be. Hence the conversation that we'll be having very shortly with the founder of Bee Culture, Shane Duthie. Tell me about how you knocked into that company.
Okay, well, first of all, it came whizzing across my desk. Their name came whizzing across my desk. But I've got a love for bees. I've always enjoyed bees. We had, when I was growing up, we had 57 hives, which we used to do on a regular basis, etc. I've worked on beekeeping projects for SAPI. And strangely enough, I'm allergic to the little characters. So I work with bees with an EpiPen in my back pocket.
That's quite an interesting one, which means what for you, for the real chances of being stung, which would be quite a worry for most people.
Yeah, it's interesting. I can be stung by two or three bees and nothing happens. And then one bee obviously hasn't wiped its bum properly. And I will end up having to rush myself off to casualty because my breathing goes for a ball of chalk and my hands start getting all hard, etc. So it becomes quite interesting, but I don't have a fear for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, and it's quite, I always feel apologetic. I mean, the last bee that stung me, I sat on the poor little guy. You know, I mean, he wasn't doing anything wrong. I've stood on a couple of dead ones in the driveway, which have given me a nasty beast. But I think it's the enjoyment of how they work, of the hive structures, of what they do in the garden. And I'm going to go back to the garden, let alone the importance of bees, I think we'll discover in agriculture.
Sure.
But my garden is never right unless there are bees in it. And when I've got a beehive that has moved in, and I've had it over the years in Joburg, whenever a beehive moves in, everything seems to be in a lot more harmony, if that makes any form of sense.
Sure.
So when I saw this, and I saw not only does bee culture with a K, not only do they do bee removals, they've got an interest in reptiles, but they run a whole lot of pest solutions. And that they look at wasp removals, etc. And what we have with people is so often we want this perfect environment around us. We don't want leaves that are eaten. So we spray our garden, and the next thing we say is, we've got no bees and we've got no butterflies. No, mate, you've killed a lot. You know, so when somebody says this poison is particularly for that insect, I don't always swallow that. I always kind of believe that there is a bleed over point. And the importance is, if we want to live with nature, we've got to live with imperfection. Mm. And the imperfection is the perfection. So that's what, you know, and that's where I thought, let's get these guys on to chat to us this morning. What is the state of our bees? What are bees like in places like Johannesburg? They're Sandton-based. And, yeah, let's take a conversation from there.
All right, fantastic stuff. Well, on that note, joining us on the line is Shane Duthie, who is the founder of Bee Culture, culture with a K. And as Tim has alluded to, they do run, they do offer sustainable solutions for the removal of animals and insects. Key to this conversation this morning is, of course, their focus on bees, because what Bee Culture has also established is a sanctuary of bees that's been set up on the grounds of an international pharmaceutical company. But essentially, you know, driven by the need to make sure or to ensure the safety of honeybees during the swarming season. Shane, welcome to Weekend Breakfast. Thank you so much for your time today.
Good morning, Rafira. Good morning, Tim. Thanks for having us today, and good morning to all the viewers.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on, Shane. I mean, you will set it up best for us, but as Tim has alluded to, bees obviously play an incredibly important role in nature, right? So in SA, we are known for our rich insect diversity. That includes bees. And if you could just sort of tell us the number of species of honeybees, I guess, specifically, or bees that we do have here in South Africa, and the important role that they do actually play as crop pollinators, amongst other things.
Yeah, well, there is a very large variety of bees in South Africa, and particularly sub-Saharan Africa. We've got one of the most diverse ranges and a lot of different species and subspecies. But the two that I'll speak about today are the Scutellata mellifera and the Capensis. And the Scutellata mellifera is what we find on the high veld of South Africa, Southern mm-hmm. Africa, most predominantly. And then sort of as you sort of start getting down to the Cape, we get the Capensis a lot more. The importance of bees as pollinators cannot be understated.
Sure.
Bees pollinate 80% of the world's 107 leading crop types. And to say pollinate, I mean, it's a very fancy word. People use it very often, but I don't think a lot of people completely sort of understand the importance.
Mm, tell us.
And the importance of pollination itself, especially to farmers and similarly to earlier, the garden, is bees will go from flower to flower, from plant to plant, crop to crop, moving pollen around and fertilizing the different pollen, which leads to a higher yield. And that's why a lot of the farmers not only love bees, but they also employ beekeepers to come onto their farm. Especially you see it a lot with the macadamia farmers, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it can increase the yield by up to 30%.
So that's
what sort of makes bees so important. And that's why we need to be paying more attention to the decline. Because bees are a very, very important and often overlooked part of the ecosystem and absolutely vital in our food stability.
Sure.
And that's what we mean when we say that they are pollinators and they're vital pollinators in the ecosystem and they're vital for the food stability.
Mm.
But I mean, just another fun fact is, you know, there's between 17 and 23 wild swarms per square kilometer in the high veld region.
That's
and you know, that's probably on the decline, I'd have to say.
Sure. But which means that when an individual, a household, finds themselves in the position of having a hive anywhere in their vicinity, they call you so that you can sustainably remove these bees or this colony. And I alluded to this, I guess, in terms of your bee sanctuary, but what does this removal entail and how do you manage this entire process?
Well, yeah. In an ideal world, they would call us, or they would call a fellow beekeeper. So we are members of the Southern Beekeepers Association. We work alongside SAPCA. We've got a meeting with them next week to hold the industry a bit more. SAPCA is the South African Pest Control Association. Got a meeting with them to discuss how we can hold the industry more accountable. But people generally don't call beekeepers. They generally call pest control people.
Yeah.
And I'll get back to that point now. Let me answer your question first. When we say that the removal is it's a sustainable removal and rehoming of bees, as opposed to sort of fumigating or a lot of the other sort of backyard methods that we've seen people do when they get a colony. If you get a colony moving into your property, and it could be a commercial or a domestic property that they've moved into, bees love moving into air vents, they love water meters, they love owl boxes, they love roofs, they love ceilings. They are the most amazing creatures in the world, and their ingenuity and creativity and ability to adapt to anywhere and build in any sort of area is truly amazing. We've seen some of the most amazing colonies set up in some of the most obscure cavities.
Mm-hmm.
The process itself is we would attend the site initially to do a survey and just to have a look at where they are and how we're going to be able to get them out safely. Once you've gained access to them, and that could be through sort of cutting open the wall or if they're in a water meter, as simple as just opening up the box, opening up the lid so we've got full access, then we remove the bees from the colony. So the bees get removed with something called a bee vac, which is, think of vacuum with an intercessor chamber before it gets to the actual vacuum itself.
Okay.
And this is a padded chamber, and there's one way in, and then they can't get out again. So the bees get removed into the bee vac before we start taking away the other parts of the colony, which would be the brood, which is the egg, potentially some honey, depending on how long they've been there, and just other comb that we want to put into the new brood box that we're going to move them into. So we've removed the bees now. Now we start gently removing all the brood, the egg, and that gets placed into the frames of either a Langstroth catch box, which is a 6-frame, or a Langstroth brood box, which is a 10-frame, depending on the size of the colony. And once we've put that safely into the brood box, this process needs to be done quite quickly because they've got to keep that brood at 38 degrees. Then the bees get moved into the brood box or catch box mm-hmm. from the bee vac. And what they find is that their brood is there. So, you know, their colony is still intact. It's just been moved.
Okay.
Then once we've got them in that brood box, we can then move them off to one of our apiaries where we can start building up this swarm and then they can start producing some honey.
Lovely. Tim, go ahead.
The way that you describe it, I think, is rather good, and I'm going to relate to my hive that arrived a couple of weeks ago. One half flew over the workshop, one half flew through the workshop. And they just seemed to carry on, and they were quite around their, you know, going around their lives. The bees in our gardens in Joburg, what are we allowed to, in fact, have? Can we actually take them out of, for example, the owl box and put them into a proper bee box in our garden and have somebody like yourself come around twice a year or whatever is needed to manage that box, remove the honey? Or is that an illegal state in Johannesburg or in Gauteng?
Look, having bees that have moved into your property and they've moved in somewhere, obviously that's not illegal per se. But in order for people to keep bees, you need to be registered with what was previously DAF, which was the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. They'll give you a GP number. Then you're a registered beekeeper. Now it's the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Development. To keep bees and be a registered beekeeper and to do any bee removals, you need to have that registration certificate. With that being said, though, I'm aware of a lot of people who are not commercial-scale beekeepers. It's someone who just wants to have some bees in their garden and have that managed by a beekeeper. And we don't do that ourselves. It's not part of our offering. But there is a chap in Bedford View called James Hodkinson, who we work very closely with as one of our suppliers, and he does a phenomenal job at setting that kind of setup up. From a legality point of view, I think if you would consult the relevant bylaws sort of to each area, it would I think it would differ. But without that registration, you know, it's not necessarily legal to keep bees.
The decline of bees, you speak of X number of swarms per hectare or per area. What is the decline predominantly, and is there a way of turning around this decline?
So I'll give you the causes. The main cause of decline, I'm sure you would have been able to sort of guess. The first one is habitat loss. You know, if you've got between 17 and 23 beehives per square kilometer in the Highveld region, and that land is being taken up, you know, as I've mentioned, and as you've seen yourself at your home, these can live in, you know, they can adapt and live in different places, and out in the wild they live in different places, you know, be it trees, they can live in the ground, you know, they can set up colonies in the most fantastic places. But habitat loss, people developing the land or burning the land or just making it unsuitable for bees is the main cause. And the second one is pesticides, which is ironic, and you'd be surprised that it's mostly farmers that are, you know, deploying these pesticides, and they're completely unsuitable for bees. And bees help farmers, which is a lot more, which is what makes it ironic. And then, you know, there is a wide variety of smaller factors, such as, you know, climate change. It's getting a lot hotter. There's a lot less nectar and pollen readily available for the bees and water sources. But, yeah, habitat loss is the main one. And that's the reason, you know, we're looking at setting up these bee sanctuaries and getting corporate involved, because, you know, corporate South Africa particularly, but corporate globally, are some of the biggest landowners in the world, especially the industrial companies. And you know, if you've got 17 to 23 swarms per square kilometer in Joburg, and you look at a company that owns a lot of land, it's not that difficult to estimate, you know, the effect that that company has had on bees because of how much land they've owned and made unsuitable for bees to occupy.
You've got the fear factor that people have of bees, et cetera, and you know, they're concerned about getting stung or their animals getting stung. So how does one approach that from the point of view of these corporates? And I love the sound of a bee sanctuary. I've got this picture of bees all sitting around drinking martinis, lying back in chairs. But, you know, how do you approach that basis and say to somebody, you've got the land, we're going to come and plonk 17 hives on it?
It's done through very, very careful planning and highly tedious health and safety work. So we've always worked towards making sure that we are the most accredited bee removers in the country, and that's why we can work with people like Transnet, Eskom. You know, they've got very high health and safety standards. And so before the process will start with a company indicating interest. They, you know, look, we've got some good land here. We would like to have a bee sanctuary set up, and I'll initially go and do a survey. And it'll be a risk assessment survey. So, you know, we'll look at some of the hazards. We'll look at some of the areas, and then we'll be able to send over sort of a risk assessment, a method statement, and a safe operating procedure document where we can say, look, if we want to set it up over here, we can mitigate the risks of someone being stung by putting up a fence and move towards it. And then immediately following from the setup, there's a workshop done with all the sort of stakeholders, you know, because the people who are most at risk are obviously the people who are going to be interacting with or moving around the sanctuary. But it's mostly the greenery maintenance teams, because a lot of people only discover their beehives in their gardens when they start cutting the grass or weed eating or something to that extent. They hate the vibration. So we do a workshop with them and just teach them about bees and how unlikely it is for you to get stung, even if there's a sanctuary there. You know, bees, like all creatures, and we always say this, you know, a bee won't sting you unless it feels threatened. It's not going to go out of its way to sting you for no reason.
Just from a simplistic point of view as well, we've always got that single bee that comes in our home at night. Or we've got them drowning in our swimming pool or fizzing around the bird bath. What are the simplistic things that people can do to allow the bees in the swimming pool to go along, drink the water, and not be threatened for drowning? And that poor little bee that comes in at night, has he just run out of fuel and can't get back to the hive? And terribly sorry, chap, no matter what happens, you're not going to make it for the next day.
Look, the bees in the pool... Yeah, I mean, you can fish them out. There was a process all the other day. It was phenomenal. on the beekeeping, I think it's Beekeeper South Africa. It's a Facebook group. And someone invented like a pool floaty, very cool device. And I think mine's on it as well. I think we've ordered one. And you just let it float around your pool and the bees can sit on it and sort it out. I don't know how in theory it sounds great. I don't know in practice if it'll be that great. But if you see any bees in your pool, you know, just give them a hand or, you know, lift them out. And it is very likely that they'll get back to their swarm. You must remember also, though, bees can travel up to 6 kilometers for food. So when a bee comes into your house at night, it's very likely that they're either looking for food or they're attracted to the light.
Okay.
Particularly white light.
Okay.
And there's not much you can do for them at that time. You know, let them outside and hope they can return back to their colony alive.
All right, Shane, we've got one last question from Matilda calling from Fairlands. Matilda, thanks so much for calling. Your question, you've got about 10 seconds.
Well, no, I saw something very clever at the local hardware shop. They're little pillows, bright coloured, with foam inside, and you float around the pool, and they're called bee islands. They've got bright colours, and the bees sit on them and drink water. The other thing, of course, is put bowls down with little pebbles in it, and the bees can sit on the pebbles and drink the water. And the other one is your old pool noodles, make them rings, and let them float around in the pool, and the birds sit on them, and the bees sit on them to drink water. We've got to give everybody water.
There we go. Matilda has given us a solution to that question, Shane.
Yeah, those bee islands work very well. I've got two floating around my swimming pool.
All right, fantastic. We're going to have to leave it right there. But thank you so much, Tim and Shane, for bringing us this fascinating conversation. Shane, you're doing some very, very important work. Please let us know as other corporates come on board and join you in your project. It really sounds like a fascinating, fascinating work that you're doing.
Thanks, Rafira. Thanks, Tim, for reaching out. And we definitely keep you updated. And thank you very much for giving us the platform to speak on what we're doing and how important it is.
Absolute pleasure. Tim, thank you as always. Really enjoyed today's conversation.